Well, I tell you, I'm just going to get into it like this. I'm a truck driver, and sometimes my life gets troubled. But I'm glad that I'm saved, and though I come into trouble, I'm not troubled. I'm glad He's always with me. And one time, the clouds were so dark and lightning and thunder, and I asked God, I said, God, what are You doing? And sometimes God will get a smart mouth with me. He tells me, He says, it's not about what I'm doing. It's about what I've already done. And a lot of times we focused on the here and now. But God just wants you and me to take a look back on the cross. And that's the greatest blessing that you and I could have ever received, what He's done and paid for on the cross of Calvary. I love my King James Bible. I ain't very interested in none of these other perversions. This NIV, HIV, Poison Ivy. I like the KJV. King James Version, I'm sticking with. Because I want to tell you what I found out in Genesis chapter 7. You'll find where God said, Noah, come in the ark. You check it out. These other perversions, they say, Noah, go in the ark. That's a big difference. He's saying, come, because He's already in there waiting on me to get in there. Well, I'm glad that He tells me to come. He's in there before the storm ever happens. In Genesis 7, He's telling Noah to come. In Genesis 8:16, He tells Noah to go forth. God's always in the storm with us. If I could tell you anything tonight, more than that brings peace to my soul, is knowing this, that He's always with me. Sometimes the days are dark and long, and sometimes I don't feel like traveling on. Sometimes I'm weary from the fight, and sometimes I'm just too weak to stand. Oh, but always He is with me, and always He still cares, and always He reminds me that He will always be there. I would stop, but I feel the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to keep on. Sometimes, oh, it feels like I could die. Sometimes my world crumbles in my hands. Sometimes, oh, I'm pierced by Satan's darts. And sometimes I just want to go home. Oh, but always He is with me. And always He still cares. And always He reminds me that He will always be there. No, November 1st of this year, I lost my mom. And boy, I ain't never experienced pain like that before. I want to tell you just a little bit about my mom. I'm not going to be long. I want to tell you the story about my mom. We didn't have what other kids have. But on Christmas, when those little kids would ride their bikes and they had their remote control cars, all we had was a Peter Pan watch, and all it did was tell time. That's it. Though those other families had all those bikes and those remote control cars, and all we had was little bitty watches, they had something we didn't have. But we had something that they didn't have. My dad worked 28 and 7, 21 and 7. But my mom, she never let, just because my dad was offshore, she never let that stop her from bringing her children to church. But the only time I can remember missing church was when I was throwing my guts up. Other than that, I didn't have a choice. Kids don't have choices. Well, mama made sure that their kids were in the house of God. Parents, Your kids ain't got no opinion. They're too young to have an opinion. Get them in the house of God. Keep them around the man of God. When I lost my mind, boy, I said this. If I could just be half the parent that my mom was. Boy, when she passed away in the hospital, her last 3 days was the best days of her life. Boy, she knew that she was going to be with the Lord and nothing was changing her mind. And boy, when she went on to be with the Lord, I got to preach her going away party. It hit me like a Mack truck. And boy, I said, Lord, in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I get dyslexia on those scriptures. But he said, His grace will be sufficient. And boy, I went and sat at the table and opened up my Bible and said, God, this grace that you talk about in this word, I need it. Right now. Because I'm hurting. And boy, when I said that, it's like it gave me a shot. And the pain went away. 3 hours later, I was back in the same situation. Hurting, missing my mom. And I asked him, I said, Lord, why don't you just wipe all the pain away? Well, I mean, just let me not even bother me. Why just, you don't take the pain away? And this is what he told me. And this is why you might be in the storm and wonder why you ain't getting out. He told me this. He said, Irby, you wouldn't look at me the same if I took all the pain away. I want to tell you, you pray better when you're going through a trial. You pray more fervent when you don't know what lies ahead. Sometimes God keeps me and you because maybe He just enjoyed a sweet fellowship. Because when He got us on the mountain, we don't talk to Him at all. If you got a Bible tonight, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to try to give you a little porcupine preaching, try to get to the point and get out. But I tell you, y'all mess up a preacher's outline around here. I don't even have that. It don't even pay. It wouldn't work. Second Timothy chapter 2. When you're there in your Bible, you give me a good amen. Second Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, notice this, to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the blessed book, Lord. We want to thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I do ask you, Lord, you help me to preach what thus said the Lord. Lord, I know it's a Wednesday night, Lord, but I don't come here thinking it's a Wednesday night. Lord, I come here this evening, Lord, not only for you to convict and challenge my heart, Lord, but I need you to change my heart. Draw me nearer to thy bleeding side. And Lord, with all that you do, I promise you you'll get all the praise, glory, and honor. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And as the Lord's people said, amen, you may be seated. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul, speaking to young Timothy, he said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I guess if I had a point number one, I want us to look at the work of Christ. The work of Christ. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something. If we got in a why in the world, and there's a dead man on this side and a live man on this side, which one would you ask for directions? So the dead man ain't going to give you no directions. He's dead. But you will certainly go to the live man and ask him which way to go. I want to tell you, everybody in this world is looking for something. And the thing is, the church don't realize what they got. They don't understand what they got. And the church has become dead. And now the world's just doing what they know to do, because the people in the world ain't ashamed about what they listen to and ashamed about what they doing. So people want to know what to do. And the people in the world is telling, well, follow us. But I want to tell you something tonight. This is elementary, and I believe this is what the devil tells a lot of preachers. You know, this eternal security, it seems to be elementary, but I believe the church needs to get back, not to standards, but to salvation, and let people know how they eternally secure. Because I want to tell you something. I got somebody to shout about tonight. I got somebody to preach about tonight. I got somebody living on the inside of me that want to come out tonight. Hey, and you got the same thing. The only thing is, this is where the church, they don't know. They don't know if they're saved or not. Galatians 2:20 said, for the which cause, no, Galatians 2:20, I can't even, I'll go to 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness cometh by the law, Christ is dead in vain. I want to tell you the most frustrating thing in this world. To know if, am I saved or am I lost? That's frustrating. And you know, right here, Paul's telling Timothy, he said, I need you to be strong in the grace of God. Ephesians 2:20 says, for by grace are you saved, 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I will tell you, you got so many people not counting on grace. They're trying to work their way. They're trying to water their way. But you got to get washed in by the blood. Hey, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's what he's telling Timothy. He said, Timothy, if I could tell you one thing, you need to be strong in this grace. Because in chapter 1, Paul said this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Trying to tell me I need to be under the law. He said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he said, I'm not ashamed. We need some people not to be ashamed of the grace of God, not to be ashamed of Jesus. He said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him against that day. Are you persuaded? You got to be persuaded that Jesus is enough. Hey, it's Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. You can't add nothing to what he done. And he said, Timothy, be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. He said, in 2004 is when I first got back in the church. From the age of 14 to 24, I just lived like the devil. I got saved at 9 years old in Eunice, Louisiana. But when my mom and dad got out of church, because some stuff went on, my mom and dad started letting me do things that they wouldn't have let me do when they were in church. But when I got out of church, they started letting me hang around with an older crowd. I started doing things that the older folks was doing. And I want to tell you, this is what I found out. I thought I was having fun. I thought I was free, only to find myself in bondage. And I want to tell you something. In 2004, when I came to Christ, I found out I wasn't in bondage. I found out I was free in Christ. And the people that is out there in the world, they in bondage because they still looking for something. I found not something, but I found someone. Be strong in the grace. And when I got back in the house of God, under the Word of God, this is the one thing that I needed to know. I didn't want to rest my soul in the hands of a preacher. I didn't want to rest my eternal soul in the hands of mommy and daddy. I didn't want to know what they had to say about the Bible. I wanted to know what God had to say. And this is what I wanted to know. Am I eternally secure? And that's when he took me to Galatians 2:20. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So I want to tell you something. I'm not frustrated or wondering, hoping, wishing. When you, the Old Testament in Genesis 7, when they got in the ark is a picture of Christ. You saved in Christ. I'm glad I'm saved in Christ. Be strong in the grace. One day the Holy Ghost broke it down to me like this. Because you got this crowd. He's telling Timothy, be strong in the grace. I want to tell you something. I got some people, I got people to tell me this all the time. Family. You Baptists, you believe in this. Won't save, always save. Or are you saved? If saved, always saved. I say, you can save both of them however you want. They both true, because when you're saved in Christ, you can't go to hell even if you want to. If you really meant it. Ain't no 1, 2, 3 repeat after me, but if you mean it with your heart, you saved. He said, be strong in the grace. And they say this, well, if you sin, you go back in the hell. Paul says in Hebrews 10, we are not of them who draw back to perdition, which is destruction, hell. But we are them who believe to the saving of the soul. John 5:24 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life at that instant. What? I want to tell you something. This Bible, it doesn't contradict itself. Even if those people that believe you can lose your salvation, they'll take it and twist it all up. If God talks about everlasting and eternal so much, if you got to rip all those words out, you ain't got a Bible. They say, if you sin, you can fall back into hell. I want to say, this is what the Holy Ghost told me. If sin could put you back into hell, this is what that's saying. That's saying that your sin is stronger than His blood. Now, if your sin is stronger than His blood, how can you get saved the first time? This is what I found out. How I'm eternally secured. Because when I sin, if I'm lost again, God ain't going to tell me about that sin. He's going to say, you need to get saved. Because when I was lost, He didn't tell me about my sin. He told me I need to get saved. But when you're saved, He'll point that sin out to you so you can draw nearer to Him. That's how you know. But salvation, I'm going to tell you the problem. Jesus made it so simple. People make it complicated. Because I want to tell you, Jesus loves you and me so much. He said, all you got to do, believe on me. Repent of your sin. Believe on me. That's simple. I thank God He made it simple. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. I want to tell you something. Be strong in the grace. If salvation was up to you, I'd have been lost when I come to church. I done broke the speed limit. Me and the wife done got in an argument. I'd have lost it. I'd have lost it. I'm glad Jesus freely gives it, and He ain't no Indian giver. He didn't put me on layaway. He said, I'm bought with a price. They ain't got no return section for Him. He ain't going to return. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things, so the work of Christ. I'm going to just say this and move on. The witness of the Christian. He says this, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I know Paul was talking to Timothy. He's telling Timothy, he said, you know, invest in faithful men. Not everybody wants it. But boy, if you got somebody that want it, invest in them. And the witness of the Christian is this. A witness, your testimony, my testimony is like a tree. Takes forever to grow, a couple seconds to cut down, minute to lose. So important. He said in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. I want to talk about the war of the Christian. The war of the Christian. He said, I almost said wimps, but I didn't want to offend nobody. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Notice he didn't just say soldier. He's looking for a good soldier. Not one that's looking for excuses to get out of church, but he's looking for somebody to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what goes on. I'm going there for Jesus. I'm going there for my family. He said, I'm going to be like David. I want to be rooted and grounded as a green olive tree in the house of God. I'm not just going to let anything drive me out, but I'm going to plant my roots deep in the house of God. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. Notice, I want to tell you, no man, he said, that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. There's a lot of things in this world that can get you and me out of the fight. I don't want no man in the foxhole with me. And I'm not getting on nobody, but I don't want him in the foxhole with me on Facebook. I need him with his gun, pointing at the enemy, protecting me. But so many things in this world, even more the devil love to get our mind to roam and to prom on other things. And he said, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Ain't nothing wrong to do things, just don't get them entangled. Get Jesus. Now, you know, a lot of people say, this is the popular saying, Jesus is worthy of our praise. And he is. But he is also worthy of the preeminence in your life and mine. He needs first place. He can't do nothing unless he's first place. And if he ain't first place, he's last. He said, no man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, and he says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to thank God he chose me to be a soldier. It was January of this year, one of probably the coldest days in Houma, sleeting, and my wife, she wanted to have a long morning. So I say, you know what? You sleep. I'm going to go drop all the kids off to school. And I've done that. I let her get some extra rest, some beauty sleep. If you notice, all my kids get their looks from me because my wife still has hers. Amen. Amen. I had to throw that in there. But I let her get some sleep. I brought the kids to school. And my mom told me, there's this old woman. We so close. She's 85, 86 years old. She couldn't tell me how old she was anyway. She's 85, 86, but she found out I was a preacher. She wanted me to sing and speak at her son's funeral. And she buried two husbands and four sons. And this woman, I can't believe she goes to First Baptist. You would think she would go to Independent Baptist. But I went and visited her because my mom told me, she said, look, she wants you to go down there and sing that song you sung at her son's funeral. And I put it off. It was 3 months before I even got down there. And it was the coldest morning. And I didn't even want to go. But I said, you know what? I got some free time. Let me go ahead and go. The wife's still sleeping. The kids are at school. So I drove down to her house. I knocked on the door. And I knocked for the first time for a long time. And I heard nothing. And I said, you know, that I did what I was supposed to do. I'm about to leave. But then I heard some things shuffle around in the house. So she come to the door and she said, oh, child, it is good to see you. Come on in and sit down. And I sat down in the rocking chair. And it was a Friday because I told her what I preached Thursday night. And she'd never been to school. But boy, when I started quoting John 14, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know. And Thomas said, we know not the way. Boy, thank God for some Thomases. If you don't know, ask. And I say, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, and word for word, she was with me. Well, John 3:16, word for word, she was with me. And she said, "Paul, I thank you so much." And she began to cry. She said, "The Lord knew I needed a word today. And I'm so glad you come by." She said, "I want to tell you something," she said. She said, I used to go to the ballrooms. She said, I used to judabug all over. She said, I was so wicked and wild. But she said, one day, my life just felt so empty. She said, I went to church. And she said, I couldn't even walk to the altar. So I crawled. And she said, "Heavenly Father," she said, "I need you to help me. Because I'm so helpless." And she said, "He came and he saved me." And she said, "Still, every day of my life, that devil want to come and discourage me. But," she said, "I tell the devil to go where he come from, because he can't cross the bloodline." And but she began to preach to me. She grabbed me and like to pull me out of the rocking chair. I was shocked on how strong that woman was at 85, 86 years old. As she said, "Child," she said, I don't know if I'm 85, 86 years old. She said, I got the glaucoma. She said, I got the arthritis in my knees. She said, every day of my life, I wake up in pain. She said, "But I know this. We all got a cross to bear." She said, "So I wake up every morning. And," she said, "you know, the doctor said my heart is just like a time bomb. It could stop any time. But," she said, "I'm glad I know my Heavenly Father." She said, "Every morning I wake up, I get out of His bed that He give me. I put my feet on His earth." She said, "I breathe in His fresh air." And she said, "Most of all, He had chosen me to be a soldier." This is what she said. This is where I got the message from. She preached it to me. She said, "I'm so glad my Heavenly Father chooseth me." She said, "He chooseth me." She said, "I'm not worthy." Boy, and I begin to cry because I don't remember the last time that I ever thanked the Lord that He come by my way. He could have passed up my pew as a 9-year-old little boy. Let me die and go to hell. But He chose me to be a soldier. I don't know why God put this message on my heart. But I guarantee you there's some people in here tonight. It's been a long time since you thanked Him that He chose you to be a soldier. Pastor, you come. Maybe it's been a long time you hadn't thanked Him. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight you haven't even enlisted in the fight. Maybe you don't know if you were to die right now that heaven would be your home. Boy, it'd be a good night to join in the army. You go ahead, Pastor.
Come around and say, "Lord,